my family, you know, I mean, there were 17 of us, you know, of marriage and what I think it is and blah, blah, blah. And I said, but God, I want you to teach me how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a father, you know. And over the course of time, he began to reveal the Word of God to me, and it started bringing structure to my marriage, to me. It started bringing strength and all of that. So I want to encourage you, you know, dig on in deeper. We only know a little bit. We only know a little bit, but if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you want God to enter into that and really, really, because I've been teaching on, and you can go ahead and kick it on, Travis. I don't have a title this morning. But I've been teaching on, you know, more fruit, more freedom, you know, and bearing fruit. The Word, if we live our life of faith and we want to know the will of God and we go to the Word of God, we will bear fruit. I mean, it's not something that we make ourselves bear fruit, you know. We desire to bear fruit, and the Bible says God will give us the desires of our heart. Now, He does manifest and bring it into tuition in our life, and I praise God for it. I praise God. I went to a job the other day, and 20 years ago, I mean, and this is somebody in our family on Teresa's side, and I just doing some garage door work, and I just thought about it all of a sudden. So I looked at the guy and I said, and I know him real well. He's in the family, like I said. I said, now how long y'all been married? Like that. And he said, oh, we've been married 22 years. And I said, well, that's good, man, 22 years. Like that. And he said, yeah. He said, we wouldn't have made it. He said, we wouldn't still be married today if it hadn't been for you and Teresa. And I looked at him and I said, how's that? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, you know, don't you remember? He said, 20 years ago, he said we couldn't get our life together, our marriage together, and we was into things that we shouldn't have been in. He said, you know, and it was falling apart. He said, and so we came and met with you and Teresa at church. Y'all talked to both of us. Then you took me into a room, and she took her into a room. And we started doing the things that y'all were saying, and two kids and 20 years later. And I said, well, praise God for that. I said, God intervened. But see, what I'm saying here is the fruit that I was bearing, I shared and bear fruit in their marriage. And then he said, and our little daughter wanted to go. He said, we joined the church. We going to church now. He said, you know, in this family, he said, no, nobody's really big on church. He said, but I was raised in church. I said, you on the right track, man. You just stay in there, get in God's Word, and God will take you places, praise God. But, you know, I left there, and I thought, praise God, hallelujah. You know, I forgot all about that. Just barely do remember. Then I remembered it. So I got home and asked Teresa. I said, you remember? And she said, I barely remembered that. I said, yeah, he said that they wouldn't have made it. That was their last hope. Where did they go? That's right. The world couldn't do it. Their family couldn't counsel them through it. But we took God's Word and we implanted it into their lives, because if we ever counsel, and you should be the same way, if you ever counsel or we ever counsel anybody in their troubles, we got to get out of our opinion, out of our emotions, and out of the turmoil they're in our mind, and turn to God's Word. Because God is a big God. God is able, the Bible says, to do abundantly above, greater than we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's according to something. According to the power. How does that power abide? By faith. He lives in us by faith. We accepted Him by faith, through our faith, our confidence in Him, our trust in Him, and we abide in Him that way. He abides in us that way, through faith. Hallelujah. But you know, I was thinking this morning, how many of you have been under attack this week? Any of you don't? I already know it. Praise God. I already know if you ain't been under attack, just wait a little while, you know, and it'll happen. It's okay, praise God. Shouldn't shock us when things come our way and unexpected things and things hit our life. Because combat, I really enjoy combat. I used to couldn't say that, Johnny. I'd be like, why me, God? Why? What? I'm trying to preach. I'm going to the streets. I've been trying to do good, you know, and all of that stuff. But the Word of God, when you go and you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you are a soldier, the Bible says. We're soldiers in the army of God. And I mean, he brought us in, and if you've been walking with him any time at all, you've been under training. Your mind's being renewed to the Word of God. I mean, just like when they go in the army or whatever, they go in there and they deprogram, so to speak. Deprogram their mind. And then they put them through hardship, and they put them through vigorous things, rain and mud, and I mean, crawling on the, I don't know what all they do. Praise God. What are they doing? They're getting them ready for the combat that they could possibly face in the natural that could happen. God's Word begins to train us for the combat that will come our way, praise God. We're living in a time now that I've never seen, you know, things in out of the... I told Teresa, I said, this stuff is being around that we see in the media, and it's going to try to come into the church and the thinking of the church, you know. There is only one race. One. That does away with racism. There's only one race. God created man in his own image and likeness. Hallelujah. Amen. Mankind. Praise God. Well, the Word of God, see, the attack that you have been under or will go under is just an opportunity to use the skills that you've been given. We're skilled. Christians are skilled. If they've been sitting under the Word of God, they've been digging into the Word of God, they've been meditating on the Word of God, they've got skills. You know, here goes King David over there. Saul wants to put his armor on him. But David was used to the slingshot. David was used to the anointing. David was used to the power of God. He had God with him when he slew the bear. He had God with him. Then when he got to this giant Philistine, some of them say that that the Philistine was between 9 and 10 foot tall. And David was a short man. David was a teenager, actually. You know. But David had used what he used out there when he was tending his father's sheep. Then he goes over there and they try to put the armor. He goes in there, tried the armor on. The armor won't fit him. He's not comfortable in it. I feel like I'm without God here now. Well, see, what the enemy wants you to do, he wants you to get under attack, and he wants you to focus on the attack. He wants you to focus on how you feel. He wants you to focus and yield to how you feel. He wants you to yield to anger. I mean, that's the fruits of the Spirit of God, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That is the produce that the Holy Spirit brings and manifests in our life. That is the produce. That is the results of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to get joy. The Bible says that joy is in me. The joy of the Lord is my strength, is your strength. So he wants you to focus. He wanted David focused on Goliath. He had all the children of Israel focused on this ungodly, non-covenant Philistine that was telling them how weak they were, how defeated they were. How many knows we have an adversary, the devil, that will try to convince you you're not going to get well. Your marriage ain't going to get better. You know, your kids are not going to end up right in life. He will try to convince you to walk away from the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. That's right. He's faithful. Well, David says, nope. He said, I can't do all of this. So he takes the armor off. And he goes out there to that Philistine. And he said, you come to me with a sword and the shield. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. See, David's like, I'm in him. I believe David was used to the presence of God. I believe that David knew that it was God's strength in him when he killed the bear and the lion. I know I've been walking with the Lord a few years, and I can tell you the power of God is real when I'm having trust and confidence in him in the battles. I mean, he never leaves you and never forsakes you. He's with you always, even to the end. But when you're in the battle, the enemy will say, where's God? Where's your God now? You're going to lose your house. He's a liar. I didn't kill mine. You're going to lose everything you got. I can tell you right now, he's a liar. He's lying to you, trying to get you to bleed the junk. Or he'll tell you, you'll never be out of debt. You're too deep. He's a liar. I can tell you right now, I'm out of debt, and I would have been deep. He's a liar. God worked. God's faithful. God is faithful. When I was in the battle, he tried to get me focused on the battle, focused on the failure, fear. How many knows the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of timidity, cowardness, fearlessness, but a power, love, and a sound mind has he given us? Well, you know what? David went right out there. He faced it. See, just face the fears. Just face it and say, my God is with me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Praise God. And you know what? I was telling Teresa, I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I'm becoming that man that God says I am already in there. I just believe it says what it says, and I am what it says I am. I am a child. You are a child of the Most High God. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you, the Bible says that you're a king and a priest unto God. You might feel like a worm. You might feel like a failure. But God's Word, he don't see you that way. He sees you and calls you that those things that be not as though they are. He calls you blessed. He's commanded blessings on you. That's why the enemy don't like for churches like we are. We're unified. If you ain't never saw it, you know, you just need to hang around and get in amongst when we're not just here at church. We're unified. Well, the Bible says that that's a place of commanded blessing in Psalms. So if you've been under the battle, combat is an opportunity to use your skills. It's an opportunity to use them. I have to use them about every day. Something coming my way seem like every day. It ain't mine. I know it. God's giving you rest. You know, but use the Word of God. See, the Lord spoke to me years and years ago. He said, son, he said, you're waiting till you get in the battle to try to bleed me. He said, you got to renew your mind to the Word of God to where you're walking in faith when you get to the battle like David. He said, then you're not fearful like the rest of them. He said, then you say, you come to me with a sword and a shield. Is that all you've got? I've stood up and told the devil, is that all you've got, devil? Is that all you've got? Hallelujah. Just give it your best shot, devil. Come on, bring some more on, baby. You're not afraid of the devil. The devil's not your problem. The problem is he's trying to get you focused on how weak you are, how defeated you are. This circumstance is never going to change, you know. People ain't going to change. Whether they change or not, me and you are going forward. I'm going to walk with God. You're walking with God. You are a Christian if you're born again. If you're not born again, then you're not walking with God. You're walking with him from afar. But if you get in him, then you're in his name. You're in his authority. You're in his bill. Let me give you an example of that. Travis, he couldn't get no pricing. He didn't have, they could call over there and they wouldn't even give him a time of day. But I called over there and I told them, I said, my son, put him on there. His name is Travis Weston. I said, I want him to be able to call anytime, to get prices anytime, to order anytime, to do everything that I do. I gave him authority, and then he's on earth. Yeah, this Travis, blonde overhead door. His voice would change, you know. Before, I bet he'd be like, this is Travis. I'm Scotty's son. You know why? He didn't have no authority, didn't have no confidence. But once I give him confidence, then here he's like, yeah, he says, yeah, this Travis, blonde overhead door, blah, blah, blah. And he emails and they just, yes, sir. And they just treat him just like it's just me. Why? Because he's representing me. And you know, that's the way we're representing God. So when the combat comes, no matter what it is, whether it's the devil or just natural things or whatever, believing God is the way to get results. Give me that Hebrews 6:12, Beth, please. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. You see, he says, be followers of them. Now, you go to Hebrews 11, how did all of those people obtain the promises? That's right, through faith. By faith, Moses, by faith. And I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this morning. This thought just popped up. I was going to continue on more fruit, more freedom, you know. But as I got in there seeking the Lord, I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I went in there and read the story this morning, you know. And these three Hebrew children were children of God. They served God. They walked with God. And Nebuchadnezzar set up and made a graven image, a false god. And he called all the priests, all the police officers, everybody, called them all down and made a decree. Anytime you hear this music, bow down and worship this god. Bow down and worship this image. Well, how many know Satan wants to give you images, imaginations, of how you ain't going to get better, you can't bow. Of how your marriage is not going to get better, you can't bow. See, and you know what? They had, and so they didn't do it. And then so they went and told on them. Well, they go down there and they tell them, he tells them, look, you're not bowing. If you don't bow down to this image, you're going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Within an hour, he told them. Now, wouldn't that be a shocker? If they come to me and you, and Satan does it all the time. He's just a deceiver. You know, he portrays himself. He don't want you to think it's him giving you these thoughts. He comes to you, your financial troubles are going to get worse. If you don't bow down, if you don't listen to me, well, he's wanting you to bow to fear. He's wanting you to bow the way it looks instead of laying your hands and calling those things that be not as though they were. He wants you to believe that calamity is just your lot in life, that you're never going anywhere. You're never going to do anything. You're never going to be happy. Listen, changing jobs has never made me happy. I just changed one work to another work. And I don't like half the stuff the other one does either. But I find that the Bible says that I will enjoy the fruits of my labor. And I went and found that Satan telling me, if you had the right job, if you just had the job making enough money, if you blah, blah, blah. No, the blessing of the Lord makes you, me and you Christians, rich. And don't add no sorrow. Not 18 hours in the best job on the planet. Praise God. There ain't nothing wrong with increase and all of that in that promotion, but promotion comes from the Lord to the followers of God. Well, you know what? They told him, they said, we're not going to bow. And they said, he said, is this God that you serve able to deliver you? Well, this world needs to see that our God that we serve is more than able to deliver us out of bankruptcy or out of marital failure or out of our kids not being successful. I walked it out and my son is successful today. I walked out Psalms 112 where he said that he would bless me and would bless my kids. I believe in the Bible, and already here in a place where it says, I will leave an inheritance to my children's children that are in this church. And black God, I can cut and give them some land right now if I want to. But you know what? When I started believing that, I didn't have it. All I had was a dream. All I had was God's thought on it. And I thought, God, you'll bring this to pass. You'll cause me when my son has kids. That was way before he even thought about being married. They've been married 12, 13 years. That was way before then. I said, I will have my grandkids. I'll leave them an inheritance. I didn't have no grandkids. But I knew sooner or later Travis was going to get married and pop grandkids. Well, he did. I'm glad he didn't want to have as many as mom and daddy did. Lord of God, them two out there, they helped me. But if there's 17 of them running around there yesterday, I'd need grandma and half of them back out there to help me, praise the Lord. I'd be like Dee this morning. I mean, hanging all over, man. Like you got your quiver full there, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But how many knows that combat is an opportunity to use your skills? You know what? They had faith in God. They're facing a real furnace. And you know what he said? Is this God able to deliver you? Well, you know what, praise God? Satan could say that to you today. Is your God able? Getting you to question whether he's able or not. Or if it's God's will. See, you can't believe these doctrines out here. They just say, well, if it's God's will, Satan will say, it's not God's will. He'll just tell that person, well, it's not God's will for you. Then the one that believes, well, if it's God's will, go to them. Well, if it's not God's will for you. To talk them out of the promise. See, there's certain promises in the Bible where the Bible says he'll bless you going in, bless you going out, bless you in the field, bless you in the city. That's a promise right there. Well, you can be in the city and Satan asks, if you just believe, well, God's will or not. I was going to pray for somebody one time for healing. They said, well, you know, if it's God's will. And I said, you won't never get healed. They said, well, God can do what he... I said, no, God's already done it. You're waiting on God to heal you, and you've already been healed. Jesus did it. God sent him. He took stripes. Now you're saying if it's God's will or not. It is God's will. What was I doing? Trying to get them in that mindset. It is God's will. See how quickly you can go from that. If it's God's will, if I prosper or not, if it's God. I know it's God's will. I used to didn't feel like it was God's will that I could keep my marriage together. Not that it wasn't God's will. But I didn't know if God would do it. And God told me one time, he said, not up to me. He said, make up your mind, you hate it. I'll never get a divorce. Teresa will have to pay she'd have to pay me to get one. And she ain't got enough money. Why? I'm rooted in the Word. Praise God. And therefore, that makes me dedicated to God. That makes me dedicated to my marriage. Makes me dedicated. And my grandkids are going to see the same dedication. Same dedication. They're going to see that. Why? Because when we bear fruit, fruit shows. See, your fruit is what you planted in your crop. You planted it. You brought forth the fruit of what you're planting. You know, that's why the enemy, he wants you angry all the time. He wants you argumentative in your marriage, just all-time quarreling, just over nothing, just argumental things. I thought I hurt Teresa's feelings or something yesterday. You know, and so Travis is out there. When she went back home, you know, and I told him, I said, I think I might have hurt her feelings or something maybe, you know. And so I went to the house, Jenny, pulled my shoes off, walked in the door, and I said, did I hurt your feelings? I said, if I did, I'm sorry. I said, I surely didn't mean to. What am I doing? Bearing fruit. What am I doing? Stopping the devil if he got in there somehow. I'm out. I don't care. I don't care if it feels good or not. I'm going to go make sure. Just a few minutes, I'd make sure. Well, he's always wrong. It's you, I can tell you, ask God. It's you. He ain't always wrong, or she's always wrong. See, that argumentative spirit, that's not the Christ one in you. That's not your born-again spirit. Your born-again spirit says, overcome evil with good. You know, the Bible says for us to suffer wrong when it's done to us, and we'll give glory to God. Well, you know what, praise God, that they're those three Hebrew children, they said, whether our God delivers us or not, he said he is able, but whether he shows up and we don't have to go in that furnace or not, we will not bow down and worship your God. I will not bow down and worship fear. I will not bow down and worship money. I will not bow down and worship man. I will not fear what man can do. But I will reverence the one that is able to keep me, take me out. I will not bow down to it. It's okay. God understands there's Christian gay people. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can born again. You can be born again and be gay. I believe you can get born again and you're coming out of that. You're going to come into that. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to ordain anybody. I'm not controversial on this. It's not about politics. I don't care what the government says. When it comes to this Bible right here, me and you have to be willing to go in the fiery furnace if need be. But our God will deliver us. He sent an angel or something in there. There was one in there likened to the Son of Man. Praise God. And Nebuchadnezzar walked up there and praise God, and he called them out. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they come out of there and they walked out of there. And you know what, praise God? The Bible says they all glorified God. So Nebuchadnezzar then made a decree, if anybody speaks anything negative against the only one God, he said, there's no God that can deliver like this God did. He said, if anybody says anything negative about this God, he said, they will be put in that furnace. And the Bible says that he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Lord spoke to me a long time ago. And he said, son, he said, the fire burnt off their chains. He said, that fiery furnace, the thing that was meant to destroy them, set them free. He said, it took all of that off. He said, the fire didn't singe their hair, the Bible says. He said, the fire, they didn't even smell like fire. That the fire didn't even touch them, and the ones that threw them in there were killed. Burn up, praise God. And so the Lord, you know, spoke to me this morning. He said, you use the word of God, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He said, in your battles, he said, you've learned to turn to the word. You're turning to me. You're turning to my promises, praise God. Give me that 1 Peter 4, Beth, please. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the trial, which is to try you as some strange thing happening to you. But rejoice. I thought, glory to God. Monty, rejoice. Amen. Be happy. Be happy. All is well. Just be happy. All is well. I used to make Richard upset, Richard Lloyd. Because, I mean, he called me when he first got saved. I mean, you know, he had a lot of issues. I mean, a lot of issues. I think he had more than Ben Treese. I don't know, man. They had a lot of issues, you know. And so I made up my mind. I thought, I got to walk with him through these issues, man. I mean, or it'll crush me, you know. I got to rely on the Lord to help this couple, you know, and believe God that when they come to church, you know, and I tried to avoid him. I wouldn't talk to him before church. Good Lord. You don't know what to preach when you get done listening to him, you know. So I bypass him, man. You know, I'm not standing around talking before church, you know. And see, you can't take too much counsel outside unless you know it's the Lord when you're in the battle. You know, and so I took this up. You know, he'd call me up and he'd tell me all his problems again and again. And then I'd say, all is well. He'd get quiet. He'd say, well, you know, but I mean, blah, 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 blah. And I'd say, all is well. Well, my neighbor, tell me about 15. You can stay on the phone for hours with him. I'd say, all is well. And one day he says, well, I got to go. And I said, okay, all is well. He hung up. Well, you know what? He's laying there, and all he can think is, all is well. All is well. All is well. And I seen him about 3 or 4 days later. And he said, you know what? He said, all is well. I said, glory to God. All is well. And you know what? I picked that up with saying it. Because I'm thinking to myself, that's all I can say right now, because all ain't well in the natural, man. I mean, everything's jacked up right here right now. So I got to speak positive to him where he can think positive, because the Bible says all is well. The Bible says in Psalms 23 to me and you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm sitting at a funeral one time. They didn't even know me. I thought I'm called to preach. I don't have to do funerals, so I might as well go learn funerals, you know. So I'm going to funerals, you know, and everybody's like, I wonder who he is, you know. Hey, had a buddy he didn't know nothing about. I didn't know none of them. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I kept hearing this preached at funerals. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I walked out of a funeral one time and I heard that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the Lord told me, he said, that's not just for funerals. I thought, glory to God. I ain't never going to preach that. They don't need nothing anymore, man. You know, if they was born again, they walking on streets of gold. You know, they're clouds of glory, man. Walls of jasper and onyx, man. And I mean, we're ashamed to be wealthy down here. When we going to get up, though, what are we going to do? Oh, no, God, we can't take this. We just can't take it. We like being broke. We like it. Y'all ain't going to be able to. We are. But a lot of people ain't going to be able to take it. When they slide in there, they're going to be all this wealth. There's going to be mansions. There's going to be awesome things up there. Praise God. Hallelujah. That God wanted us to imagine. He told us in the book it was there. And he told Jesus. I mean, Jesus told the Father, Father, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, he was telling the disciples, pray in this manner. You pray this way. Ask God and tell God, God, I thank you to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I read that one day and I thought, how is it in heaven? That was the Holy Spirit quickened my thinking. How is it in heaven? So I began to look at heaven a little bit. There's no more tears. There's no sorrows up there, man. God is life and light. There's no darkness. There's no shadow for God from God because God is the light there. We never get tired. Never. God never sleeps or slumber. We won't sleep or slumber. We won't get up. Oh, I just wished it wasn't Monday. You ever get up wish it wasn't Monday? Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Living for the weekend. I'm going back to that. I didn't turn to the song. You know, there's a song that was out back. Living for the weekend. Oh, yeah, whatever it said. You know. So I'm like, glory to God for Saturday and Sunday, Lord. I told the Lord last week because of the battles and everything. Nobody don't hardly ever know it. Teresa asked me yesterday, she said, are you still having issues with that right there? You know, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't heard you say anything. I said, why would I? I said, I'm believing God. I said, I just told the Lord the other day, it ain't gone yet, but I'm healed as I go, praise God. Some were healed as they went. She said, it's been about 3 or 4 months since you said anything. I said, well, I wouldn't want to rehearse it. I said, if I consider it gone, well, then I'm not going to talk to it and feed it and fellowship and pet it. I'm not going to pet that thing. Praise God, I'm on it with my mouth and my ears, and I'm getting some preaching. I was up there working. Oh, I got my building coming together now. I got my walls up, man. Woo, yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I was up there, but I had my phone out and had Kenneth E. Hagin out. Victory over the curse. And I'm up there and I'm like, I can't run at Saul right now. I'm drowning him out there, man. I'm not going to run it. I'm going to wait till this part's over. And then I kick it on, saw it right quick, turn it right back off, praise God. And I thought, you know what, praise God, I could operate in this natural, but I'm going to continually feed my spirit, man. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him when sickness comes, or when infirmity comes, or when tragedy comes. The strong spirit, but a wounded spirit, the Bible says. Somebody that's already defeated on the inside. I know a lot of Christians that are already defeated. They're Christians. They love the Lord, and I have no doubt. But when it comes to battles, they've not been trained anything. They've not been taught anything. And I'm talking about, I know ministers that whenever they get in financial trouble, you know, they start blaming the church, not giving. And I'm like, no, man, you got your trust in the wrong place. You've got to have your trust in God. You know, God supplies all your needs. I said, this is limiting you. How many knows that's bad fruit to be bearing for a minister? That's not bearing fruit. That's bearing bad fruit. The Lord, there was a minister wanting to come here one time and to minister, and he'd been here before, and I was talking to him, and I said, well, we'll go before the Lord, and we'll pray about it, and we'll see what the Lord says and everything. And he says, well, I mean, you know, I mean, you got to understand, man. He said, all my credit cards are due, and, you know, man, I mean, I need somewhere to, I started telling him, make money? A church? You know? And I told him, I said, you can't come. I said, you shouldn't have told me all of that. I said, you can't come here just to make money, pay your bills. I said, you can't. I can't let you come. Well, I said, I'm sorry, brother. It's just not going to work. And so I hung up, you know, and I'm feeling bad. I mean, I'm really feeling bad because I love the brother. I care for the brother. The brother's been here. You know, he's ministered for us and all of that, you know, time or three. And so, I'm feeling kind of outcast-like, you know. I'm not feeling good. And so I'm walking and I'm telling the Lord, I don't go by how I feel, Lord. You know, he shouldn't have told me all that. Now, Lord, if you feel different about it, then you let me know. But you know, I'm not going to let anybody come take from the body of Christ that way, praise God. Just come, you know. Well, I'm on the roof up here working one day, and I don't know. I'd been up there 2 or 3 hours, and I just had my mind on the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. And he says, let him come. I thought, is that you, Lord? You know. He said, yeah, let him come. He said, and I want you to minister to him. He don't tithe, he don't sow seeds, and he don't give. He said, and that's keeping me from speaking to the churches for them to give, because he's not good ground, because he's in unbelief. He's there to get his needs met. And I said, okay. So I let him come. He preached. I took up an offering. But I told him, I said, I need to see you after church, if you don't mind, a few minutes. And I set him down back there, you know. And I told him, I said, you don't have to answer me, but I already know. I said, you're not going to come out financially get well. I said, although you're trying to believe God, I said, but you can't believe God. I said, you're not even tithing. I said, you don't have to tell me nothing. I said, the Lord told me you're not tithing. You don't sow no seeds. You don't give no offerings, you know, and you have a crop. That's your crop. I said, you've sowed no seeds, so you don't get no harvest. I said, now, you know, I said, I'm not getting on to you, but I'm just telling you. I said, the people are not your source. The church is not your source, you know. And, you know, I mean, I could have asked you when I talked to you, what word have you got for the church? And you couldn't answer it. You didn't have one. I said, you were going, and I said, now I understand. You know, well, you know what? That dude, I don't know if he got upset. He didn't act like he did, you know. But he went and he started prospering. He started tithing. He started giving, praise God. You see, when the enemy comes under, you get under attack financially, you pull out your receipts out of here. You tell that devil, you a liar. I got seeds planted. I'm a tither, praise God. Well, you know what? I had five calves, you know, that I raised this year, or that was last year's calves. Now, I've always going to get $5,550 out of them. Had a guy call me up. I'd done turned them out, fed them up a little bit, you know. Just five. And the biggest one was 600 pounds, a little over 600 pounds. The least one was like 480, 490, you know. And so this guy calls me, hey, you got any? I said, yeah, go see what they look like. He called me back and he said, I'll give you 4,000 for them. And I said, nah, I'm not going to do that, man. I said my biggest one will bring more than that. I mean, $1,200, $1,300 is what I told you. I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I went, loaded them up, took them to the sale, waiting on my check to come in. And I thought, man, I hope I didn't make a mistake. Well, when I got the check yesterday, it was $6,665 for five calves. I'm like, fell out. I'm like, woo, glory to God. I would have got robbed, wouldn't I? If I'd have sold them for four, that's $2,600. You know, and I was like, nah, man. See, the easy way out would have cost me. I wouldn't have had to mess with them. I wouldn't have had to load them up. Ain't that the way it is sometimes? Believe in God, it's easier just to fold and easier just to give up. But the reward is great when you don't yield. So I have eight or nine more that I didn't take off their little heifers. And I thought, ooh, their little hinnies are gone. I'm thinking I was going to keep them. And I'm like, five of them brought $6,600. No, man, I got nine. That's a chunk. I thought, nah, them little rascals are gone. That's what I'm doing. But you know what? Some people told me back there when I'm getting into cattle. They said, oh, you can't make no money with cows. You can't make no money with cows. But I took Deuteronomy 28, and I took it, and I said, my cows are going to be blessed. You're going to bless my cattle, praise God. Hallelujah. My brother over there got in some cows, and I told him, I said, I found my cows in Deuteronomy 28. He's reading Deuteronomy 28 every day. His cows are blessed. Had one born last year, and the mama wouldn't drop milk. The baby starved to death and died. So I told him he's going to talk about getting rid of it. And I said, well, why don't you give her another year? I said, just watch her real close. I said, you know, and the blessing, and lay hold of the blessing on it. So anyhow, he has the cow has the calf, and he calls me up. Oh, I had a little bull, and I said, well, is it eating? He said, I don't know. I took it home. I said, you took it from mama. Well, what if it starves to death? I said, well, it needs that colostrum, man, for 3 days. It's real critical. Did it get that? Well, I went and bought some. So he's up at Decatur up there, and I told him, I said, hey, I said, I'm going to meet you over there. So anyways, I went over there, and I told him, I said, listen, man, I said, you are going by last year. What happened last year? This is a year later. I said, you're going by last year. You're going by what happened. But we can't do that. We can't go by we failed or we made a mistake and it happened that way. And then we turn away from the Word of God. So I told him, I said, no. I said, I'm going to meet you over there. So when he gets over there, I said, where's that baby? He said, and I mean, she's just full, you know. He said, well, it's up the house. I said, let's go get it. Well, what if it dies? I said, what if it don't? What if it don't eat? What if it does? I said, we're believing God here, ain't we? So we go get that baby, and I towed it out of the barn, towed it out there, and we drove down 2 or 3 miles to the fence. He went and got the mom in there with some feed, put that little baby in there, and I mean, he was aggressive. Boy, he went right in there, and I'm sitting there, and I just seen her udder just, you know, getting smaller. And he's sitting there looking. I said, see that? What? I said, just watch her when he goes to the other udder. I said, just watch it. I said, notice they're real tight. I said, that baby's drinking. Well, go the other one, and it sat there, and I got up, and I said, well, my job's done here. I said, are you satisfied that baby's eating? I said, you seen it. I said, stand up. He stood up. I said, did you see it? Well, I mean, I seen it, but I said, don't say last year. I said, now let's go. I said, that baby will be just fine. You need to leave it alone. Leave mama alone. Leave that baby alone. Leave them alone. Well, you know what? I called him 3 or 4 days later. Is that calf still good? Oh, yeah, it's running around bucking and everything else. I said, we can't never go by past failures. Can't go by past what happened in the past. So I want to encourage you this morning. You know, praise God. Stay focused in on the Lord. And let your battles be opportunities. That's the way you got to change your thinking here. Let the battles you enter into be opportunities to exercise the word, exercise your skills. You are a skilled Christian if you've been here over a month. Now, if you're just coming in here and you're not paying attention to the word of God and you're just coming in to check it off, you went to church and all of that, then you're not going to be skilled. The Bible says strong meat belongs to those who have exercised their senses, that they know good and evil. The Word is how you know good and evil, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. I know that it's evil because I read it in the Bible. The Bible says, let a man that stole steal no more. Now, I know that it's wrong for me to steal. I knew it before then, didn't have to have the Bible, but even more convincing after I read it. After I read, love your husband, love your wife, as Christ so loved the church, well, then you know, I knew that I had to start sacrificing some things for her. I didn't know it before then. Well, that when I do that, now I am exercising my skills. Hallelujah. Kind of like my friend going to, I'm inviting him to church, you know. And this ain't the only one, several of them, but this particular one. Inviting him to church, he said, I ain't going to come to church and be a hypocrite. He said, I drink. He said, I drank every night. And I said, well, you're not going to pretend to be a Christian, are you? Well, no, I ain't going. But, you know, I said, that's what a hypocrite is. I said, you're pretending to be one, then you leave here and you ain't. I said, coming to church, you're not pretending to be one. I said, so you're not a hypocrite. Well, you know what? He started a church. He don't drink. Come on, somebody. He quit smoking cigarettes. He don't drink. All of that stuff. Lord started helping him. Had another one, you know. He told me, ah, Scott, I still smoke pot. And I said, well, I said, you can still smoke pot and go to church. See, a lot of Christians, they won't tell them that. God, I can't invite a pot smoker to church. I mean, that don't look good. Yeah, it does. It looks real good on you that you're not religious. Because you bring somebody in the presence of God, and then they start doing the things with the Lord, then they know whatever's against the law, the natural law, they don't want to be against God. I don't break the law on purpose now. I ain't been in trouble since I quit breaking the law. I mean, I was in trouble all the time, them pigs. That's what I called them. But I've not been in trouble since I quit breaking the law. They don't tear my truck apart anymore. They know I don't got no pot. I'm going to jail preaching and all that stuff. So when I go by, they're just like, yeah, he ain't got no pot now, surely. Why? Because they know I'm serving Jesus. So they ain't no need to pull me over and tear my truck apart because I'm not carrying any marijuana anymore, praise God, hallelujah. You know, so I told him, I said, well, come on to church. Go on to church. You know, see, I'm not supposed to clean the fish. I'm not supposed to clean them up. Johnny's daddy come in here, he's sitting over there, had the beer joint out here. And I'd done heard, you know, he's going to your church. You know he owns that beer joint over there, don't you? And I said, well, yeah. What I got to do with coming to church? Well, that's going to make your church look bad. I said, it ain't mine. Belongs to the Lord. I said, I guess if it looks bad to the Lord, he'll help him. You know, he'll quicken him. Yeah. Well, he come to me. I walked around, shook his hand. He said, hey, Brother Scotty. I said, yeah, man. He said, you think I need to get rid of the beer joint? I said, I don't know, man, do you? That's between you and the Lord. I said, that's none of my business about the beer joint. You know, that's between you and the Lord. That's not something for me to to fix for you. I come on to church, and I didn't think more about it. I don't care, you know. He over there got a beer joint coming to church. I don't care. Come on to church. We didn't have you. We're glad to have you. Glad to get some people in the cheers, you know. Well, the Lord later on got rid of the beer joint somehow. I don't know how it happened, praise the Lord. But don't be so critical with people. You know, don't be judgmental with people. Reach out to those, you know. Travis told me one time, he said, Dad, he said, you're just messed up people seem to be drawn to you. They were to Jesus. Zacchaeus was stealing taxes and all kinds of stuff, man. Yeah, man, he come down out of that tree. Here comes Jesus down there. He come out of that tree and he told him, he said, I'll pay back double, Lord. If I've ripped anybody off, I'll pay it back double. See, Jesus changed Zacchaeus. Jesus can change people, praise God. The ones in your family, I'm praying for people in my family. They some hooked on painkillers and marijuana and all of that, the drugs, you know, vaping. It ain't just these things, vaping. Monty's going to classes. May have the guy to come fill us in on it, praise God. Having to go to class and learning about this vaping, and all this TLC. It's worse than smoking cigarettes, I guess. Praise God, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you.